Well, he's a healing Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. Somebody's got the word the Lord's given me is like a crick on the left side. You know what a crick in your neck is? And it starts right here, and the pain just goes up here. Wherever you are, if you just stand up and start moving your neck, you're going to find that pain is completely gone. I don't know who you are, but just you move it right now, you're going to find the pain is completely gone. Hallelujah. Is that you? Yeah, thank the Lord. Praise God. Open your Bibles this morning to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. And look at verse 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Lengthen and strengthen. Everybody say lengthen,
lengthen.
And strengthen. Say lengthen and strengthen. If I were to give my message this morning a title, it would be, Put On a Bigger Coat. Put on a bigger coat. Turn to your neighbor and say, Put on a bigger coat. When I was a boy, I would go into my father's closet, and I would find his big winter overcoat, and I would put it on, but it was too big. It was heavy. The sleeves came down this far past my little hands, and the bottom of the coat dragged the floor. It was too big because I wasn't prepared. I wasn't quite ready for that. But the day was coming. The day was coming. The day was coming. In 1950, my father stretched his tent in Amarillo, Texas. That tent seated 7,000. It was packed that night when a tornado came across the field. In those days, there was no weather channel, no internet, no way of letting people know what the weather was about to do. And before you know it, they saw that funnel cloud coming across the field, and they screamed, run for your life. And 7,000 people scattered like a covey of quail. One man who was in a wheelchair was left behind, and he was screaming and yelling, somebody help me, somebody help me. An usher ran by and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of there. And he did. It's amazing what you can do under the anointing. I don't remember it, but I was there. I was 2 years old. I was in my mother's arms underneath the steel platform when the tornado hit. And the tornado demolished the tent. It bent the tent poles in half. Pieces of the tent were found 6 miles away. And the next morning, my father went out to survey the damage. And the tent was completely destroyed. There was nothing left. And as he walked through the rubble, the tears began to flow because he just bought the tent. He'd spent all the money he had to buy the tent, and now it was demolished in front of him. Someone walked up and handed him a telegram long before the days of email. The email or the telegram was from Pastor Charles Blair of Calvary Temple in Denver. And here's what it said. Oral Roberts, you can't go under for going over. And a spark of faith was lighted in my father's heart. And his faith began to move, saying, I can get a bigger tent. I can get a better tent. I can get a stronger tent. And the next tent seated 12,000. It took 9 or 10 stainless 18-wheel trucks to carry it. plus 12,000 folding chairs and all the sawdust that was spread out on the field. That's the tent that I remember. That's the tent that I grew up in, Brother Robin. That's the tent where I would sit on the front row over here on this side and wait for my father to call me up to stand by his side when he prayed for the sick. That's the tent that I saw the great miracles that I described last night. 12,000 folding chairs. And many a night, all 12,000 were filled and people standing 10 deep all the way around. I was there. I'm one of only a handful of people who are alive that experienced that up close and personal. I grew up in that healing revolution, and I'm still in it. I shared part of the testimony last night. I gave my heart to the Lord at 19, just before my 20th birthday. My father had prophesied over me the healing ministry, and I had another plan for my life. I wanted to be an entertainer, a nightclub artist. I was a guitar player. I wanted to get a hold of one of those guitars over there this morning, because I have not yet forgotten how to play. And I had a different plan for my life. I did not want God. I told my father, "Get the hell out of my life." And he said, "Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get the hell out of your life." But when he prophesied over me that day, I recognized the call of God. And it changed my life. It was time for me to put on a bigger coat. I gave my heart to the Lord. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit that night. Began to pray in tongues, and I learned how to interpret the way the Apostle Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians 14, for he said, let her who prays in an unknown tongue pray that they may interpret. And we had a part of that as an operation of the gifts of the Spirit just a few moments ago. We had the gift of tongues in operation, followed by the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Those two gifts are two of the nine gifts of Spirit. And you already had a prophetic word given this morning, which is another gift of the Spirit. Plus you had an operation of the word of knowledge a moment ago with her neck being healed. So you've already had operations of the gifts of the Spirit this morning. You know? And we're just to the preaching now. You know? And we're not worried about what time the cafeteria opens. So I was about to put on a bigger coat. I started as an assistant to my father. But actually, I really began before that because my father believed in the work ethic. And he put me to work at 12 years old in the mailing and shipping room. And I was sending out books and sending out tapes and sending out pamphlets and all kinds of things when I was 12 years old. And I had a tremendous salary. I got paid 85 cents an hour. Now, that was a lot of money for a 12-year-old to get paid 85 cents an hour. And as the years went by, I graduated from the mailroom to the maintenance staff. I graduated to cleaning toilets and sweeping floors and pulling weeds and mowing grass. There's nothing that I didn't do. I'm a 75-year-old overnight success. I believe in the work ethic. My parents taught me to work. And when I got in trouble, when I was a little boy, I got in trouble. My parents believed in the stars and stripes. They applied the stripes and I saw the stars. Spare the rod, spoil the child. I remember the days. But I was involved in so many different things. And finally, when I gave my heart to the Lord, and by the way, someone has some kind of growth. You have a growth on the back of your hand. It's a knot or it's a growth. If you'll stand up right now, you're going to find that growth is just going flat. It's on the back of your hand. Is that you? Is it gone? What? Is it gone? Going? It's going. Well, that's soon to be gone. If it's going, stretch your hand out toward her. In the name of Jesus, I speak to that growth. Just, there it goes now. Just stop it in Jesus' name. Now look at it. How about now? Getting flatter. Well, somebody give the Lord praise for that. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, you never can tell when God's going to give a word of knowledge. And you got to learn how to obey. You got to learn how to be instant in and out of season. Okay. If you want to be all that you can be, if you want all that God has for you in your life, you're going to have to be flexible. And you're going to have to learn how that sometimes your plan is not His plan. And you have to learn how to change your plan and be willing to change and not be so proud that you can't change. You know, I didn't come here this morning with three notes and a fountain pen and a signature and a handshake at the end. You know, you can get that down the street. I didn't give you 3 points in a poem. No. I'm speaking spontaneously this morning based on what we did this morning in the worship. Okay? Because as a minister, you have to be willing and able to feel who you're ministering to. And you got to look them in the eyes and you got to look inside their soul and see what they need. Not what you want them to have, but what they need. Okay. Yeah.
No, you hold the mic. Did you know that when you gave that word, I was in a camp meeting in Vidalia, Georgia. Somebody came up with a wart on their hand. And I gave a word like that it's going away, that growths are going away. Somebody came up and said, all of them's gone, but this one, but it's gone. And you know, the Lord spoke to me when you said that. That word you gave is just, it's penetrating the crowd right now. And there's at least 15 more people that didn't come. That's all.
Well, if that's you, let's lift your hand right now and just give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. See, this is an interactive message. Praise God. And those of you watching online, I'm so glad you're watching online because you don't want to miss what's going to happen at the end, okay? You don't want to miss what's coming. And I said, what's coming, not what's going. What's coming for you. So I joined the ministry in 69, just about the time that Jesus Revolution was about to start. Thank God in my day, in that year, the drugs and the things were not available like they are today. It was not prevalent in our part of the country in the 60s. It came after I gave my heart to the Lord, and I'm grateful for that, because had it been available, I probably would have been involved in it, because I was involved in anything else and everything else that a 16, 17 year old kid could get involved in. Things that I'm not going to describe, but you can use your imagination. So when I gave my heart to the Lord and I joined my father's ministry, he and I became inseparable. And I learned. I first was his assistant, and then I became his aide, and then I became a glorified secretary. And when he wrote his most famous book, The Miracle of Seed Faith, I was his typist. And he would write on a yellow legal pad and give it to me, and my mother had an old Selectric IBM typewriter on the kitchen table, and I would sit there and type it and double space it so he could change it, mark it up, give it to me. I'd type it again. He'd change it, mark it up. I'd type it again. He'd change it, mark it up. I'd type it again. And by the time I'd typed that book 7 times, I knew it as well as he did. That's how I got started. And I was singing in those days, and he used me. My father used me as a door opener. He used me. Music is a door opener. Music prepares you for what's coming, for what follows. And he would go places where in those days they didn't have praise and worship. They had a song service. And most of it was pathetic. It was just, you had someone standing up at the pulpit conducting a song like a choir. And it just made you want to throw up. It was horrible. And when they finished, you wanted to say, well, when do we view the body? I mean, because the place is deader than a doornail. And he had to get up and preach after that, and he did not want to dig out of the hole that they dug for him. I said, okay, if I just talk to you how it really... I'm talking to you about how it was and how it is in a lot of places still today. And so he wanted me to sing. He said, I'm taking you wherever I go, and you're going to sing before me because you have an anointing when you sing, and you're going to fill up that hole before I have to come out and preach. So he used me like that all over the world, and I was so dumb, I didn't have any idea why. I just said, when he said, you're going to do this, I said, okay, and I did it all over the world and enjoyed doing it. And I served in a number of different roles. I served as, then I later was elected as a vice president and then executive vice president for a number of years. And then at the age of 44, in 1993, I became president of the university. Now, I had already graduated. I'd had a bachelor's degree. I'd earned a master's degree. I'd earned a doctorate degree. And I was prepared now for the next step of my life. I did not dream of becoming a college president. I dreamed of being a healing evangelist, but I had a detour for 14 years and graduated 8,000 kids during those years, many of them from Alabama. And I learned how to put on a bigger coat. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. It must have been in about 98 or 99, I was doing a live television program 5 nights a week with my wife, Lindsay, and we were having guests come in from all over the country, and I invited an Australian prophet to come and be on our program, and he gave a wonderful prophetic word on the program. It was just terrific, and afterwards, we went back into the little speaker's room and sat down to get a little bite to eat and to talk, and he began to prophesy over me. And he said to me, Richard, it's time for you to put on a bigger coat. And I said, explain to me. I knew what he meant, but I wanted to hear the explanation. Explain to me. And he said, I see you in the spirit, and I see the angels that have been with you so far. And he said, they are loitering around you. And I said, what do you mean they're loitering around me? He said, that group of angels has protected you all up to this point, but they have gone as far as that group of angels can go. And they're waiting for you to thank them and release them so a new group of bigger, stronger angels can come in. He said, it's time for you to put on a bigger coat. And I had never had anything said to me like that. And so I said to the angels, I thank you for all these years that you've been with me. I thank you. I give praise to God for you. And now I release you. And he said, yes, there they go. They're going back to heaven. And all of a sudden he said, now here comes the new group. And he said, they are bigger and they're stronger for the next phase of your life. You're putting on a bigger coat. Now, what am I trying to say today? I'm trying to say you can do more than you think you can do. If you look at the life of Joseph, Joseph is a man who had 4 specific coats that he wore in his life. The first coat he wore was the coat of a son. He was the 11th child of Jacob, and he was Jacob's favorite. He was born in Jacob's old age, And Jacob favored him more than any of his other children. He favored him so much that he gave him a special coat. It was a coat of many colors. And his brothers were extremely jealous of the fact that Joseph got a coat and they didn't. Sibling rivalry. And Joseph was a dreamer. He saw prophetically in the future. And he shared that with his family, and his family got upset. He indicated that the day would come when they would be bowing down to him, and they didn't like that very much. And so one day when they were out in the field, his brothers threw him into a pit, stripped him of his coat, and planned to kill him until a Midianite caravan on the way to Egypt came by, and being good Jewish businessmen, they decided to sell him instead and make a profit. And they took his coat and they dipped it in animal's blood, and they went back home and crying and saying to their father, "A wild animal has killed your favorite son." Meanwhile, Joseph was on his way to Egypt, and he was purchased by a man by the name of Potiphar to work in his household. And Joseph put on another coat. He put on the coat of servant, and he became a servant in Potiphar's house. And you can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good woman down. It's like taking a rubber ball and holding it underwater, but once you let it go, it will just spring back up into the air. You can't keep a good man, a good woman down. It's like the story of the mule that brayed too loud. And the farmer was upset because the mule would bray and make too much noise. So he took the mule and threw him down a well. And the mule continued to bray. And so the farmer just started dumping trash on his head to try to get him to shut up. And every time the trash came down in the well, the mule just brayed and stepped on the trash. And he threw more trash on his head, and the mule would just bray and step on the trash. And each time he stepped on the trash, he kept standing taller and taller and taller. And the more trash they threw on him, the higher he rose until he walked out of the well. You can't keep a good man or a good woman down. And he prospered in Potiphar's house until he was in charge of the entire affairs of Potiphar. And then came his wife, who cast her longing eyes at him. She rolled her baby blue eyes at him, and he picked them up and rolled them right back at her. And he would not give in to her sexual advances. And she got mad and created a story, and they had a mock trial, and he accused him of something that he hadn't done, and the next thing he knew, he was in prison. And he put on another coat. He put on the coat of a victim. And many people today have been victimized because of what somebody has said to you or what somebody has done to you or something that's happened. Somebody else's fault, nobody's fault, your fault, but it's happened. And you haven't stepped into that new role. You haven't put on a new coat because you think God can't use you anymore. And that's what he was talking about this morning. And that's wrong. If you're willing, God will use you. How's he going to use me? I don't know. You know, I've told God what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and where to do it. He's never done it my way once. Half the time, I don't have any idea what I'm doing. I'm just obeying. When he says jump, I say how high on the way up. So he wore the coat of a victim. But he kept rising in prison until he was the number one prisoner. A special aide to the warden himself. And several of his fellow inmates had dreams. And Joseph was able to interpret those dreams and said to them, "When you get out of prison, remember me." And they got out of prison and they forgot him. And some of you feel like you've been forgotten, like nobody cares. And you're having a pity party for yourself. It's like what God said to the prophet, "Come out of the cave. Stop having a pity party and come out of the cave. Get back to doing what I called you to do." You know, you can park by your failures if you want. But David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley." He didn't park in the middle of it. He didn't build a monument. and they forgot him. And he languished in prison for several more years until Pharaoh had a dream. And no one could interpret it. None of his astrologers, none of his wise guys, none of the 1-900 operators could interpret the dream. And someone remembered there was a man in prison who could interpret dreams. And they shaved Joseph and brought him before Pharaoh. And when he heard the dream, he said, I have the interpretation. There will be 7 years of plenty in Egypt, followed by 7 years of famine. You've got to find someone to help organize the 7 years of plenty so you'll have food and resources during the 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh was so pleased of the foreknowledge that he said, bring the royal coat and put it on him. And Joseph got a new coat, the coat of a leader. And it was Joseph who was chosen to oversee the bringing in of the food stores and the resources during those 7 years of plenty. He literally became the prime minister of the nation, the number two man to the king himself. No matter what you go through, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through right now, God has a bigger coat for you. He has more for you. And I dare say you've got dreams and visions that you have not accomplished yet. And some of you think there's no way on this earth that I can ever do what God called me to do. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. And that's when you need to say to the devil, devil, get out of here. Go to hell. Leave me alone. And you've got that right because you have that authority to command in Jesus' name. I've done that so many times in my life. And here I am now. Here I am now at Church International singing Get on the Love Train. That great 1972 O.J. song is just as powerful today as it was then. It captured the attention of America and the world back then, and it's still capturing the attention of people today. Here I am now at Church International on a Sunday morning after a tremendous healing service last night, and I'm trying to show you that God's not through with you. I don't care if you're 15 or 55 or 105. As long as you're breathing, as long as you have breath in your body, he has something he wants you to do. And it's time for you to take your dream out of the closet. Pull it out of the closet, dust it off, and say, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to do whatever you call me to do. Every one of you, you have a dream, you have a vision, you have something that you've not yet done. And now is the time for you to put on a bigger coat. You can do what God has called you to do. You can run faster than you can run. Elijah outran Ahab's chariot. God showed him he could run faster than he can run. And you can do the same because he's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He's the same God. And listen, friends, if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. Because he is no respecter of persons. Every one of you has a dream. You have a plan. I remember my dad was preaching a sermon on this once, and he said, I want you to get a song that fits. And I said, Dad, I don't know a song that fits. He said, well, then call Mike Murdoch and have him write one. And so I got Mike Murdoch on the speakerphone. And my dad preached the message to him over the phone and said, Mike, write a song. Sit down at your piano and write it right now. That's kind of dad my dad was. He gave an order. He was a general. Generals don't explain themselves. They just say, do this, and you do it. That's how I grew up. He said, Mike, write me a song right now. And Mike was in his home in Dallas, and he just sat down and began to write. Don't give up your dream. Don't turn loose of your vision. It's not over yet. God's not finished. And all the words rhymed, and in less than 10 minutes, he had a song titled, Don't Give Up Your Dream. Don't turn loose of your vision. It's not over yet. The seed in your hand decides the plan that God has for you. 10 minutes later, we had a song, and I went into the studio and recorded it. And I sang it as he preached that message. It's powerful, friends. Don't give up your dream. Pull it out of the closet. There was a man by the name of William Scrindy. He lived out in the Pacific Northwest. And he developed a part for the hub of a Jeep, which the military used. And he tried to sell the part to the military, but they wouldn't buy it. And it was his dream and his vision. He worked and worked, and he couldn't make it right. And the military just would not buy that particular thing. And he took that dream and the plans and put it in his attic. And the years passed. And one day God spoke to him and said, it's time to take your dream out of the closet. And he went back up into the attic and took the plans, laid it out on his kitchen table. And instantaneously he looked and saw the mistake that he had made years before. He corrected it, took it to the United States Army, and every branch of the service bought it. He became a multi-millionaire because of what he created for the hub on a Jeep. He took his dream out of the closet. And God is no respecter of persons. Who has a dream that you've not yet seen fulfilled? If you do, stand up on your feet. Something that you know that's in your spirit that you haven't quite accomplished. I figured I'd get just about everybody. And I want you to notice I'm standing with you. Because I have dreams and visions too. I have things, I have places to go, I have people to minister to. Just in this past year, I've ministered to more than 30,000 pastors. Teaching them on healing, the Holy Spirit, seed faith. I preached to them in Pakistan. You mentioned Pakistan. I had 15,000 pastors in Pakistan, in India, in the Ukraine, in Central America, in Western Africa, where I had a conference with 2,000 pastors from 14 French-speaking nations, teaching them on healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith. I have a dream and a vision of touching underdeveloped nations' pastors, teaching them how to pray for the sick, teaching them how to pray in tongues and interpret back. Many of them had never had any idea they could pray in tongues. They knew they had heard of the Holy Spirit, but they have no idea who the Holy Spirit is. They had heard of healing, but they didn't know they had the right to pray for the sick today. And now they're seeing miracles wherever they go. I get testimonies almost every day from these nations, pastors saying, I didn't know I could do this. Now we're seeing tremendous miracles. Give you one example. One of the church members there, one of the pastors that came to the conference, was bitten by a poisonous snake. And they didn't go to the doctor. They killed the snake, but didn't go to the doctor. About 3 or 4 hours later, the man was foaming at the mouth, literally dying in bed. And they rushed him finally to the hospital, and the doctor said, there's nothing else we can do. The poison's gone too far in his system. They called on the pastor who had been in my seminar and had learned how to pray for the sick, went up, laid hands on him. God delivered him completely. The doctor said, we don't know what happened. Because usually somebody bitten by this kind of snake, they just die without kind of medical help. But God healed him. That's what's happening in places all over the world. I have a dream and a vision of touching these pastors around the world, of imparting into them. And I'm going to have my dream fulfilled. And how do I do that? I put on a bigger coat and make a decision. I'm going to do it. Now look, there's no such thing as indecision. You either decide or you decide not to decide. There's indigestion, but there's not indecision. And it takes a risk. It's a risk to step out on nothing and believe that God will put the floor under your feet when you land. It's a risk. But life is a risk. You take a risk every time you get in your car. You take a risk every time you walk through a door. Life is risky. And things happen. Look at Paul. He told them not to sail, and they sailed anyway. And he wound up shipwrecked on an island. Not only was he saved, but the next thing you know, he was snake bitten. And they said, he's going to die for sure. But he shook the snake off. Listen, I've shook off a lot of snakes in my life. Some of them about 5-6 feet tall. I mean, I've shook off some snakes. Well, we're in the world, but we're not of it. And we have the authority in Jesus' name to put that bigger coat on and take a step forward that we've never taken before. And after the worship this morning and after the prophetic words that came forth, I knew I was in the right place. And I knew when I heard that song, Love Train, I knew I was on the right track this morning with this message. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Increase the size of your surroundings. Put on a bigger coat. You can do it. Because when your coat's too small, you're constrained. You can't move. Do you remember what was that movie with John Candy in it? Where he sings, Fat Guy in a Little Coat. Do you remember when he put that coat on it and he moved and he split the coat down the back? Because it was too small. He needed to put on a bigger coat. Well, I don't know about you, but for me in my house, I'm putting it on. You say, well, you're 75 years old. Well, so what? Moses started his ministry when he was 80. I haven't even begun yet. I got 5 years before I reach where Moses was. And Moses lived to, what, 120 or something like that? My goodness, I got years ahead of me. I got health. I got strength. I'm good looking. I mean, I can still run and jump. I can still sing. I can still play the guitar. I can still preach. I can still pray for the sick and get testimony. We saw last night what happened. I'm not about to quit. Retirement's not for me. I want refirement, you know. I'm serving a live God. He's not a dead God. And he's the same God to you as he is to me. If you just will step out and say, okay, God, I'm willing to be used. That's all he's waiting for. And he will show you what to do. And he'll help you bring that dream to pass. But you're going to have to work your ever-loving butt off. Don't be entitled expecting it to lay at your feet. You know, America wants it hot. They want it now. They want the correct change. And if it's not, then they want to sue you. Don't be like that. Don't be like the people that are entitled. Walking down the center of the road with your cell phone and then sue somebody because they run over you. You know, idiot. What in God's name are you walking down the road talking on your cell phone for in the first place? Use the sidewalk. Golly, there are so many idiots in the world. Avoid them. Don't walk away from them. Run from them. There's an idiot on every corner, it feels like. Stay away from them. Stay in your lane. Now, my lane is the healing lane. That's my calling. And I'm probably going to get into trouble for some of the things I'm saying today. But it's coming out of my heart. Because I care. And it's your fault because you started singing that love train. I wish you'd do that one more time today anyway. Father, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the miracles of healing physically last night. But Lord, there's another kind of healing today. This putting on a bigger coat is a healing. It's not physical, Lord. It's more emotional. It's more in the decision-making area of our lives. It's right down on the inside of us where people can't see, where they can see something that's physical, but when it's on the inside, they can't see it. But healing is not just physical. Healing is for every area of your life. It's for your emotions. It's for your family. It's for your psyche. It's for everything that's inside you. And I'm stretching out my faith towards you today. I'm praying in the authority of the name of Jesus. And I'm commanding the devil to take his hands off of you. Take his hands off of your money. Take his hands off of your emotions. Take his hands off your family, off your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. Take his hands off your home or your apartment. Take his hands off of you, because you belong to God. You do not belong to the devil. You were paid for with the shed blood of Jesus. And you are special. You are privileged. You are a VIP to God. And I pray over you today. I pray for healing from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. For God to take hold of your life as you allow him to. And that you'll never ever be the same again after today. I pray this in faith, not in my name, but in Jesus' name, whose name is above every name named in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Begin to lift your voice in tongues right now. Lift it up. Did I not say unto you, if you would just put one foot in front of the other, that I would show you the way? But you must put that foot out. Without me, you cannot. But without you, I will not. I hear the Lord saying, I'm an if-then God. If you will, then I will. Stop waiting on God to do it all. Do your part, and then let him take you forward. In Jesus' name. Now just lift your hands and say, Father, I'm taking that dream. I'm taking it out of the closet. I know you have it for me. And I refuse to die until I do it. All right, now you heard yourself say that now, okay? So you don't have my permission to die, okay? You can't die without my permission. You got to do it. Now just reach around and put a bigger coat on. Put it on. Now it may be heavy. When I had that experience with that Australian prophet, and I saw in the spirit that group of angels come in, or one leave and another group come in, all of a sudden something hit my shoulders, and it was heavy. It felt like what it felt like when I put on my dad's coat when I was a little boy. It made my shoulders sag, and I looked at him and I said, what's that? He said, that's that new anointing. I said, it's heavy. He said, yeah, it's heavy. He said, but after a few days you'll get used to it. And I did. For a few days, I kind of walked hunched over because it felt heavy. It was a new anointing. It was a new coat. It took me a little while to get used to it so I could carry it. Now I can carry it. I can carry it because I decided to carry it. And thank God for it. Now, if I can do it, you can do it. In Jesus' name. Make sure that coat's on now. Put it on. Now button it up. Put your sleeves out. Don't worry about the fit. May feel a little loose. May feel a little heavy. You'll move into it. In Jesus' name.